The one specific thing that I'm particularly excited for, if there's anything I could really get you hyped for and that I'm hyped for, I haven't even tried it yet, is this idea or this notion of the print companies, the print providers offering you the ability for intense branded customization.
All right, I'm excited because, well, we've got Drew from Kittle on here, and we are going to dig into print on demand in 2024 because I think it's something that we need to talk about. And I figured, you know what? Why not get you on, Drew? Someone that's in the trenches with a lot of different sellers, not just Etsy sellers, but just people in print on demand in general. So, man, I'm excited to dig into what we have to talk about here today. I want to pick your brain today. So how's it going, man?
It's going excellent. It's going excellent. Today is not as intensely cold as it is. I'm over here on the East Coast, North Carolina area, and currently we are in the every single season per day. So right in the morning, we have winter time, you know, promptly at, you know, between 12 and 4, we have, you know, spring, summer, and then at 4:30 it becomes fall again, and then we just do that cycle again. So it was freezing when I went out for my morning coffee and walk or whatever, and then now it's like 60 degrees. So I don't know what to do, but that's what it is.
Well, man, yeah, weather can be all over the place depending on where you live. And this time of year it does start getting a little chilly, which also gets people warmed up for Christmas and for the holidays and for all of that stuff. And we are in Q4 right now. And you and I were talking before we even got on here, before we started hitting record. And I mean, we're cranking right now, Q4. My wife's going crazy in a good way because we're just busy, super busy.
Yeah.
But let's kind of just dig into like print on demand. Where does, you know, like, where is it like right now in your eyes? Like, where is it right now? Everyone's talking about it. Everybody wants to get into it, especially on Etsy. We know that there's been some crackdowns on Etsy and stuff because of, well, it's infringements and trademarks and all of those things. And probably just people getting, you know, violations for copying other people. But I want to talk about like, what does it look like for the future for print on demand? And also then I want to talk about like design stuff. Like how can we differentiate ourselves when everyone is basically got the same ideas or people are being told to do the same stuff? So let's just kind of dig in. Where is print on demand like right now? Like where do you see it? Is it growing? Is it dying? Is it, what's it doing?
It's 100% growing. I mean, I think that there's a common misconception that it's always too late to start. And, you know, it may always be too late to start when you keep on not starting. So I think that a lot of people, they got in kind of at the head of it, but all they're doing is providing you more context clues for success, right? So they're providing you with the metric or the model to follow. In terms of feature-wise, where we are in print-on-demand right now, I've had a lot of conversations with friends at Printful, Printify, other sellers using the gauntlet of things, Gelato, what have you. They're adding tons of products, like tons of new products every couple of months. So, I mean, I would say like one that Martin from Printify was telling me about, he was like, yeah, you'll never believe this, but like people buy like ice buckets off of, you know, Etsy or whatever, like, you know, that now like you can customize and sell an ice bucket from Printify. I think that's absolutely incredible. Like just the type of things you can do. You can brand your own playing cards and sell those. The one specific thing that I'm particularly excited for, if there's anything I could really get you hyped for and that I'm hyped for, I haven't even tried it yet, is this idea or this notion of the print companies, the print providers offering you the ability for intense branded customization. In other words, the tag of your print on demand product has your logo on it. You can do the inserts now with the card, the little card that's got your, you know, a little, maybe a little message or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that I believe we're at the, like, just the beginning cusp of that, where you're going to see so much more beautiful, like mailers that are branded, actual cardboard packaging that's branded, more than just an insert. Perhaps you can add stickers that are ready to go. Some providers are already playing with this, but that, if we talk about wanting to differentiate, that will differentiate you shop-wise from all of the people just heading to Printful, Printify, making something and shipping it to their Etsy or their Shopify without it being like customized. If you can see a listing with the tag that has your brand on it versus just, you know, whatever, that's powerful.
Yeah, I love that. I didn't know that they were actually working towards that. But that's really, really, I think really good because, I mean, years ago when I was doing, you know, private labeling with Amazon and stuff, that was the thing, right? We private labeled our product. We would brand our product. You know, if it was, you know, resistance bands, I could put on there the name of my business, you know? So that's really exciting. Yes. So that's cool to look forward to that. The packaging I'm even more excited about.
I'm more excited for that.
I gotta be honest. Like my wife has ordered, you know, we do everything pretty much through Printify. Okay. We find, you know, manufacturers in there. And the one thing that I think they are lacking is that because we've ordered like samples and it'll come like a pillow will come in like just this wrapped bag that's all beat up.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I don't get it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So to get that and be able to have it in a box, maybe even with that like confetti paper, you know, like and you pull it out. It's like, that's the experience, man. If we can work towards that, that is huge now, because that's going to increase that, I guess the buyer's journey, right?
Or the experience. Yeah.
The experience.
Now it's going to cost a little more. It's going to cost a little more. And, or what I believe that the Printful or the Printify model will do is add that onto their kind of pro or premium thing, right? Where you can get like a lesser price for stuff. And I think that is going to be, you know, that'll be kind of hand in hand on that. I think with Printful, there is three or four things custom branded you can do right now. And it's like $5 or something like that. Not like for every single order, but I don't remember what the metric is, but I think once you hit a threshold of sales as well, they kind of knock that off. I think that's Printful's big model is playing with, hey, you did 10 sales. You've unlocked, I don't know, 20 sample orders or something. You know what I mean? There's like this kind of threshold of like, when you get this many orders, you get this reward, you get this, you know, I think that's a powerful tool.
Yeah. Insert cards are huge.
Oh yeah. You can do that now. I'm pretty sure.
You know what I mean? There is some, but some you can't. And that's a little challenging because there was actually a situation recently that my wife was ordering through this one company for sweatshirts, but then the one company didn't offer the double X and the triple X.
Oh, weird. Right? Okay.
So now you had to go to another manufacturer who didn't have the same options or the card, whatever. What do you do? You know, so I wish there was a way that we could incorporate like universally, not just through the manufacturers, but maybe that'll come. But insert cards are big because I think that's a great way for us to be able to get people to come on over. And I'm big on email. So I'd be driving people over to, you know, a landing page and getting a discount to join our VIP group and get 20% off your first
order. There you go. Yeah.
So that's really exciting. The packaging is exciting too. I know it's going to cost more, but I also think that people are willing to pay a premium for a premium product.
Yeah. You know? And if you get the stamp order of that branded thing and you can show that in your listing pictures that they get this nice little, you know, gradient package with your logo on it and it looks awesome. And it's like, you know, it's a little sneak peek of the shirt coming out of the package or something like that. I think that you would buy a couple extra dollars for that. I mean, come on. Especially if it's a gift or something, you would do that.
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
You Yeah, gift is big. I mean, even to just have the option of maybe like, do you want it to be sent in this just because it's a gift? And then someone could check that box and they could pay a little more for that. That might be an option. I know they do that. They do that in Amazon. I mean, it's not the, I mean, it comes in a little bag with a little
on it. Yeah, it's not like fancy, right?
But it's better than just coming in an Amazon box, right?
That's true. That's true.
You know what I mean? So I do like that. So that's cool. Printful, like, so we haven't used Printful. And no reason other than we just settled on Printify and we've had good results and, you know, so we just kind of stay with it. What's the difference? Have you seen or heard, with the two? Is it just, you get opened up to more, manufacturers, or maybe some are, have different products than others? Like what's the pros and cons, or what's, is there one, you know?
Yeah. I mean, so I'm always gonna also like slightly plug Kittle Print, because now you can like print and ship directly from Kittle, and we have some pretty awesome, like, I don't want to like give too many spoils away, but just like keep your eyes on like what's going to be happening with Kittle Print, because we're going to provide you with some really awesome options and opportunities. In terms of Printful versus Printify, I do believe that Printify's library of items, of products, is quite larger. I think it's like there are actually more things, like ornaments, for example. I had never messed with ornaments in my life until Steven from Hello Custom had said, dude, ornaments are the way to go, especially in Q4. Like, people are purchasing ornaments. I was like, okay, I'll try it. Printful doesn't have ornaments. Printify does, or print on demand ornaments. And I made one, like a quick little easy customizable one, listed it, and the next week there was a sale. Like, I was like, okay, I guess people will purchase ornaments. So there is some strengths to both, I believe, Printful and or Printify. I've personally tested quality on delivery from the two in the US. I think Printful's a little faster. Again, it depends on where you live. And I just started with Printful. That's really was my main reason that I personally use Printful on two stores that I have right now, but they also integrate. I have Printify in there as well. So like if somebody buys an ornament, it comes from Printful, but if somebody buys a hoodie, it comes from the ornament from Printify. If somebody buys a hoodie, it's coming from Printful. I don't know. I got really familiar. I think a lot of this is like, what you first start with, the trainings, the YouTube videos I watched on how easy it is to set up, and Printify is easy to set up too. But yeah, I think also Printful had a couple of customization opportunities faster than Printify did, i.e. the mailing cards, the packaging, the stamping. And now both, I think, are about to offer DTF printing, which I'm super excited for. That might be the next thing we can talk about, is like the quality of print on demand printing, because that's needed. That's needed to go up since they started. I mean,
can you explain that though for people that don't know what that is?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So the way that most printing works, for the sake of speed, volume, general quality, overall experience, most of what you're going to get is DTG, or direct to garment. Essentially, the shirt is going through this machine that's using ink, or mixing ink together, to closely represent whatever your design is. That's why I generally believe with DTG. I don't personally see a massive difference between CMYK or RGB like printing. I know people will get really in the weeds about that. If you're doing DTG, I think it's going to be okay. I wouldn't worry too much about it. Direct to film is like, it's a little bit of a different process. It's not just kind of like running your, think about how a printer works with direct to garment DTG. That's mainly what you're getting from Printify or Printful, unless you select embroidery, which is the best, by the way. It's kind of like printing a shirt with like a printer. You know how a printer works with ink, like
yeah.
It just comes out. Direct to film is like actual like paint, more paint like than the direct to garment. So it's not just like a baseline like part of ink. So direct to film is going to adhere a lot stronger all at once, like more ink. It's slightly closer to actual screen printing, which would be something like this, where it's very thick, which you can't see or feel.
I know. So it's like a silk screening kind of process, but yet it's not, but it's closer to that.
It's closer.
You can feel almost the paint.
Yes. Yeah. Like if I put my hand here.
Yeah.
you can feel that, I mean, this is paint. Like if I yep. rub this across, there's no distortion there.
Got it.
So okay. that's, yeah. Then there, so there's direct to film, and then there's heat transfers, which are also quite now. Now there's vinyl heat transfers, and there are film heat transfers or ink film transfers, which is basically screen printing. It's an easier, faster version of screen printing that's okay. not as strong, but it is stronger than DTG. So both are offering that, I think, on a limited amount of clothing. I need to go check it out, because when I got an email recently from Printify that should be coming soon. So I would look into that. I don't know if it's going to cost more or not. I haven't looked at it, but I am super excited for more options than just direct to garment.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's good. And quality will, like you said, it'll be better. And if we have better, then, you know, we're going to have less returns or less people complaining, and we'll just have a better quality product. So I think that's awesome. So cool. So it sounds like the print on demand companies out there are innovating, and they are, because yeah. they see this thing is, you know, people are still doing it. With that being said, though, there's more competition now, right? There's more people coming in. I still believe that even though there's more competition, there's still going to be room for people that are either better at design or get good at designing, maybe using a tool like Kittle, you know, mm-hmm. like yes. being able to figure that part out. But I also think there's room for people to be better marketers, because I think that's where a lot of people are lacking. We won't get into that today, because I talk enough about that here on the channel as it is. But
sure.
I do think there's room for having better design and better quality. I think there's okay. room for people to do that versus just saying, I'm just going to do print on demand and, you know, just slap some stuff up there. What's your thoughts on like the competition, you know, and just people starting, but do you still see people starting on Shopify versus Etsy or any of these other platforms? And do you see people having success on opening a Shopify store?
This is interesting, because I just recorded yesterday a full, like, how to price your print on demand products video, where I'm kind of going in and using what your production costs are versus profit margin versus what you're going to sell on, because that's what everybody's so afraid of, is what's it going to cost me to actually sell on this thing. I don't know what the ratio of Kittle users to Shopify users are right now. I don't exactly know how many people are or have their own Shopify site. I would say a vast majority of them definitely have Etsy. And I think the reason for that is, yes, there is this 20%, or excuse me, there's this 20-cent listing fee for Etsy for the first sale. I mean, after 4 months, it goes again. But I think there's some misconception that everybody thinks it's 20 cents per listing per month. I think that would be pretty insane. But then you have your 6.5% charge. So if you're selling something for $30, you get that $1. And whatever it is, 70 cents or $1.16, something like that. I'm not good at math. Plus your 20 cent listing fee the first time. And that's it. So if you get that, like, I don't know, what are the $1.70 total or something goes to Etsy, with the rest of the bar to entry low. With Shopify, they take 2.9% plus 30 cents for whatever reason. I don't know where the 30 cents come from. Yeah. But they take 2.9% plus 30 cents for each sale. So if you get that $30 coming in, 2.9% plus the 30 cents is going to Shopify. And then you have to pay a minimum of $29 a month to have a Shopify site. Now, Shopify is very strong. I've experimented with it. I don't currently have one. I had one for the last couple of months. I've recently stopped it for now because I can't really manage it. Shopify is great, a lot of capability. But let's go back to our quick $30 analogy. To warrant the $29 a month subscription to Shopify to have your own custom branded shop, you have to sell five $30 shirts before you make any profit, regardless of what your profit margin you put on the production cost is. So if it costs you $23 to make a shirt and you want 30%, margin and you want $7 profit, well, you still have to sell five shirts to warrant your $29 subscription cost to the Shopify. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? I know it's a lot of math all here at one time.
It is. And I think exactly what you just said, there's pros and cons to both when you look at cost.
100%.
Right? But the thing that Etsy gives you right out of the gate is traffic.
Yes. Right? Yes. True. Very much.
That's a big one. Right. And so I'm a big fan of starting on Etsy, building that all up, getting your products. And then when you're ready, create a Shopify, port everything over. I mean, there's tools now you can just port all your listings over. It'll import everything, your images.
I experimented with that. Yeah.
It's pretty much, it's pretty straightforward. They've kind of covered that. But to your point, if you're just going on Shopify and you're like, I'm not going to have to pay all the Etsy fees because Etsy wants to rob me. That's what everybody says.
That's right? A lie.
Not everybody, but you know, that's the conception.
That's a misconception.
So,
yeah.
So I always look at it. Well, the grass isn't always greener on the other side of the fence, because if you're over on Shopify, guess what? Yes, you have your own platform. And yes, Etsy can't tell you that you can't sell there because you also violated something.
Right.
But you have to go find your traffic.
This is true.
So that's a big one. I'm a fan of it. I'm just not a fan of like people like starting out from the gate. So I think that would be an interesting stat that maybe you could report back to the Kittle team and say, how many people are actually Etsy sellers? How many people are Shopify/Etsy? And then how many people are just Shopify? I'd be, or own website, their own, you know, could be using WooCommerce or something like that.
Right. Yeah. I think we have some survey. Yeah. I think we have some survey data that will, that tell us relatively closely if they're print on demand or if they're Etsy. I don't know if it's as granular as something like Shopify or Squarespace or WooCommerce or something like that, but yeah, you're right. That would be interesting to know.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so let's kind of get into this whole AI design. We'll go there because I know that there's a bunch we can talk about there and kind of give people like what's coming up, what's around the corner maybe. And is AI even a viable thing to use for creating designs, right? Like, because a lot of people are like, well, you know, do I own it? Like, how much of it can I use? And, you know, and I know, you know, Kittle now has some AI capabilities and things. So maybe you can just speak to the whole AI thing and what that looks like moving forward.
Yeah. So, and you're talking about AI kind of specifically to print on demand designs or how I would utilize it.
Sure.
Yeah. So I think that AI has made the bar of entry even lower. It was already quite low with some design tools you can use, namely, of course, Kittle. We have, you know, thousands upon thousands of templates specifically catered and tagged to products like mugs or shirts or whatever, all vector. But with AI, you now have like one bar lower that you can get into because you can, or the bar is lowered because now you can put your imagination on paper, so to speak, digital paper. And I think we're still at the very beginning still with even all of the developments and iterations that a lot of these AI tools are doing. For example, with Kittle, a couple months ago, we released text to vector, meaning you can insert a prompt and you will get a vectorized version. So you're not limited to pixels. You can just make it as big as you want. You can color it whatever you want. That was really big for us to figure out because we knew that, for example, if you're doing a print-on-demand poster that's 24 by 36, you're not going to get that quality with your base like 1024 by 1024 Midjourney output image, or even with Kittle's original output image. It's quite small, and we're working on an upscaler right now and how to get our general AI to be even higher resolution. But I think we're still all at the beginning, right? We're all at the beginning of where we can actually go with AI. Vector was one that we really wanted to make sure that we could figure out because you can utilize that for so many different things. In terms of print on demand, of course, it's very strong because now you can look at what sellers are doing all in the same space, all very, very, very similar. Okay. Whether that's similar font or similar asset or similar illustration or what have you, and say, oh, I know how to differentiate myself because I can just tell the AI to do this thing. I don't know, maybe it's this panda or something, in a different way. I'll just ask it to help me come up with a different style of that thing within the niche that I know works. So That would be one thing that I can say about AI is its strength is that it may take you a little bit because we're at the beginning, but you can get a really cool iteration of styles for your niche or sub niche or whatever.
Yeah, I do like that as like building off of something. I think here's my question, and I don't think we're ever going to know the answer like immediately or even in the next year. What does a platform like Etsy do with this? Right. Because Etsy has said like they're allowing print on demand, which they were smart for doing that, because if all you're doing is handmade, there's only so much you're going to grow. So then they allow digital products, but you have to create them. You know, now you can do print on demand, but you have to create it. I know people have tried drop shipping and people have gotten suspended and banned from all that stuff. So they're trying to weed that stuff out. But isn't there going to come something, don't you think, that because it's going to be so easy for people to just put in some prompts, spit out an image and put it up there, that Etsy will, or any platform for that matter, will have to find a way to make it so you're not just putting in commands and then punching it out? Because yes, you're creating it through commands, but you really didn't use any creativity in a sense to take an element, put it on top, drop shadow, add your own font, like build it. The way I look at it is the way that we've ever used AI is we need that panda and we can't find the panda. So we're going to create our own unique panda. Exactly. That's the element. We're going to bring the element in now to work on it in whatever, you know, software we're using. And then we're going to build upon that. Now it becomes a piece of work that we created. It's not just that one piece.
Yep.
What's your thoughts on that? Like, people just punching out images and slapping them up.
Yeah, I mean, whether or not Etsy decides to try to figure out how to ban that or not, which I don't know how you can police that. I don't think there's any such way to police that. You'd have to just ban all AI art, which would be a bad move. If the design that you're punching out and just putting on whatever product, if that's all you're doing, I don't particularly think you're going to get any massive sales or audience from that, because unless the audience is just really into one kind of clip art, but at that point you would just create a digital product and sell clip art with AI, which I've done, and it works beautifully because people want clip art. But if you're just generating an image of like some kind of scene and then putting it on a shirt, you may get some, like a couple sales perhaps, but I don't think it'll be as strong as if you use AI as a tool with everything else that you have at your disposal. Like you mentioned, I need this element. I can't find this element. AI will help me with this element. That's how we've seen a lot of our collaborators using it. That's how I would use it. That's how we use it in our Kittle videos, is I'm struggling with this book cover design. I don't want to take 4 hours to craft 100 elements together to make this mountain landscape scene with somebody in the middle of it with a flashlight. I will use AI for the background of this book cover, and then I'll put my text on it and my author's name at the bottom. So, you would be smart and will be smart if you allow the AI or allow AI to work for you, not take over. So that what your model is, where you said, I'm just punching in a command, I'm going to put it on a shirt and list it. I mean, I don't think there's any effort there, and so low effort or less effort will result in lower results, lower sales. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And again, it might not be an Etsy move that maybe goes out there and shuts those stores down, but it just might be that the lack of success that the stores go away.
I've definitely
seen stores where all they're doing is punching out like digital art, they're calling it, and it's just Midjourney art, and they're just slapping up as many listings as they possibly can, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if it looks awesome, I mean,
yeah,
I guess somebody will buy it. Like, I mean, so I don't have Midjourney anymore. I did. And I used it quite a bit, and I mean, I used it for one big project. The client knew I was going to use it for the project in mixed with other things. And I mean, it took me 5 or 6 hours of iterations and fighting with it to get what I wanted. It was a landscape, actually. But it was never generation one. I mean, and this was like, these were long prompts, paragraphs, keywords, testing. I mean, so you have to put in some work, I think, to get some, and you can do that with Kittle too. I mean, you can just put in the same paragraph. And I actually did a video testing like 10 different AIs. yeah, I mean, if it looks awesome and it's digital art, I mean, it is digital art. I don't know how well that resolution will be on like the back of a t-shirt. I don't think we're there yet with certain AIs being able to actually provide you with quality render. But yeah, I would say that it's going to be the overall success result of those shops that won't be as high as where you see people going utilizing AI amongst other tools that you have at your disposal.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't know where it's going to end up, but I know that it's kind of going quick. And like you said, sure. I mean, you know, all the different platforms are starting editing softwares and Kittle being one of them. And, you know, it's and crap. I mean, I can't imagine being a company like Kittle because there's so many out there that, I mean, you got Adobe, you got them all, right? That they're, you know, trying to come out with the best AI generator. But sure. I think what makes yours really unique too is that it's part of a tool that's
it's integrated.
Yours isn't just like you jump in and it's an AI tool. That's part of your tool.
Correct.
It's a feature, right?
It's there if you need it, right? Exactly. That's the idea. I mean, we just launched our little promo for X1. The logo generator of X1 actually works. So right now you can type in a prompt for an actual logo and it'll give you a vector editable logo. You can click on it and you can actually type in, you can change the illustration, all this stuff. And so that's kind of what our plan is with X1, is that it will be your co-pilot. If you need it, it'll be there to help you with your color palettes. You can ask the AI, show me different color palette, show me this design in a square, show me this, right? So it's, it's not to take over. It's there if you need it, you know?
Yeah. Walk me through this. Sure. So like Kittle, it's allowing us to build off of designs that were already created, correct?
Templates.
Isn't that kind of,
Yeah.
So you have a template. Mm-hmm. That template, is that created by another like designer and then they're making it available? I've always wondered that because, how does that work? Like, could I sign up and go, I want to be one of your designers that you use one of my templates? Like, how does that work? Not that I'm going to do that, but I'm just saying, where do these people come from? And then why are they allowing me to build off of their thing inside of Kittle? That's the first side of it. And the second side of it, I want to know is like, what do we have to change in order to make it original now to us? We can use that. Because I do think that's a huge advantage that you guys offer lot of these other tools don't. Even Canva doesn't offer that ability to be able to have like things with layers all pre-built. I mean, they have templates, but not necessarily designed for like print on demand.
Correct. Yeah.
You know?
So the way that our templates work, so we have creators all over the world creating templates. You know, here as we've kind of grown on this journey at the beginning up till now, you know, we've offered and kind of handpicked and selected some of the best designers that we believe globally around the world, and they're part of our partner program. So they get, you know, money from uses on the template. So this it's not a secret or anything. We just don't currently have open application to the world to apply to become a template creator. We will. It's not quite there yet. So right now it's been, you know, selected. And so this is why it's so powerful, because as many templates as they create and as many uses as it gets, the more money that they get, which is one of our founders, Tobias Saul, that's been one of his big, I use the word MO a lot. I can't even remember what that means, but I guess it's the mantra, I guess, is passive income for designers, because he himself experienced that with great success selling digital products, designs, templates, all that kind of stuff. And we wanted to offer that as a solution in Kittle. So it's pretty meta. So we have people doing that, but then we have people coming and using it for print on demand, using the templates of the designers that are getting paid for the uses of it. It's pretty awesome. So I'm pretty excited about that.
That's really, really awesome, actually.
Yeah.
And that's actually a great insight for people that aren't familiar with like Kittle and how it works. But that actually makes me even feel better about like using a design, because it's like, someone actually got paid for this and continues to get paid for this. So I'm supporting a designer.
Correct.
But I don't have to go to Fiverr and ask for someone to design this thing.
Nope.
Right.
Yep.
It's almost like you have full reign of designers at your disposal, right? That are creating all the time, and you're adding in new things. Do you guys have any requests where like I could submit something and say, hey, I'd like to see something on this? Do you guys have anything like that?
We have a feature board request. We have one in Discord, and we have an official one that's you can access like at the bottom of your homepage or your editor. It says feature request. You're welcome to put design style. But what we actually do, and probably the best and easiest way, is if you were to type in something in the search bar and it doesn't come up, we log that as something that doesn't come up. And then at the end of the month, we look at all of the searches and we say, hey guys, we need actually like Hanukkah templates, or we need whatever. So we log all of that to, I mean, it's not a secret. I mean, we want people to have the stuff they want. So we log what's not showing up. Like when someone types in something and the template doesn't show up, then we'll actually sometimes ask these designers that are part of our partner program. And we'll ask them, we'll say, hey, can you make some templates for X, Y, and Z? It's up to you. I mean, it's up to, again, if they make more templates, it's a potential for more money, right? More passive income for them. So, or we'll do it ourselves. You know, we'll make templates based on that style, or perhaps it's an illustration that someone couldn't find, so that we can best create and upload and or provide more templates. And of course, we look at that in the Discord. I'll see comments like, I don't see any like, you know, I don't see any really great like MTV or off-roading elements. Oh, okay, dang, that's a good idea. We didn't even like really focus on that. So we just put that kind of into our queue to say like, maybe we should do some more illustrations, or maybe we do actually hold templates. We like to keep the templates, of course, use specific so that people will use them. But as they grow, this is also part of the designers that we have, part of the program. They'll also go and look. They'll look at other templates that have uses and say, oh, this is really big, I should make some like this. So it's kind of this nice cycle, this nice little reciprocal cycle that we have for how we generate that kind of content.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm glad you explained that, because that makes a lot of sense. So again, you're using Kittle, you're able to use all the design elements and all of, or, you know, the tools and all of that stuff, the AI stuff that you have now and stuff coming, all that. But you also get access to designers in a sense, and you're able to use their work, you know, in your creations. Obviously you need to modify it. So what's the stipulation? Like, how much do I need to modify to make it my own?
Yeah. And also, just before I explain that, on the creator part, you can actually, we're going to work on this, but we have this ability for you to follow designers. So if you found some templates that you liked, you can actually kind of like Instagram, you can follow that designer and you get a little notification when they publish more designs. It's really cool. So like, not that I publish a ton of designs, but for example, if you saw something you liked and you followed and then I published three or four, you'd get a notification that says Drew published these designs.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah, that's smart. It's smart for both, right? It's smart for us because now we can kind of have a little following of people following us as a designer. And then we also get, you know, you get to ping and notify the people that it liked your work in the past. That's really smart.
Exactly. In terms of customization, I know that this is like a big question issue people bring up, you know, and it directly results to licensing, right? Am I licensed to use these things? So in our licensing, because these templates are published to the community, you can use them as they are. Now, should you do that? No, because probably like 50 or 60 people would do that. So that actually makes no sense. What we're saying in that licensing is that this template is available for you to use and edit. I mean, the template is there because it is a template. That is what it's for. The template is for you to insert your text, to change your colors, and if you want, change your illustration, and you're done. That's what it's for. It is a template, not for you to go in and destroy it because you feel obliged to do something different. We made the template for you to succeed, right? I think the conversation around templates has gone really weird. Why would you submit templates for them to need to be destroyed into something that's not the template anymore? The design's already good. So like, you don't need to like mess it up. So if I were to give you the best solution for what needs to be changed, I come back to three things. Please change your text. Don't just open the template and then just export the template and put it on a print on demand, because then like, I don't know what's to stop 100,000 other people from doing that same thing. And then all that's going to do is make Etsy like flag 100,000 listings because they're the same exact content. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So please change your text. I mean, that's what it's for. It's a template for you to change your text. please change your colors. It's not hard. We have a color palette option for you to easily change your colors, or you can play with the individual colors of all your little elements. And then elements, if you decide you want a different illustration, we have the elements panel. We have Kittle AI, or if perhaps you believe the element that is already there to be best fitting, then that's great. That's what the template is there for. Everyone has the same ability and access to those elements. That's, again, that's why templates are so powerful, is because you could have crafted that by yourself. And the templates are very educational because you can look into them and you can see, oh, this is super cool how this designer put this element here with the drop shadow and the lightning and the bear, whatever it is. Everybody has the same ability to find and utilize those fonts or those assets. They've just pre-composited it to a design that already looks really good. So I would change your text, please. I would change your colors, I think, to be custom to you. And then I would do a little tweaking, you know, do a little tweaking with sizing. Maybe you didn't want a different font. Maybe you want a different illustration. But in terms of like, if you should be fearful of any kind of licensing, please don't be fearful. We wanted it to be as clear as possible, which I know, you know, if you go read the full licensing page, you'd be like, dude, this is like hundreds of paragraphs. Okay. Yes. We need very intense licensing, but for me talking to you, there's a page with just bullet points. This is okay. This is not okay. You know? So using templates is okay.
I think it's kind of, you know, also use common sense, right? It's like, you know, does 100%. It make sense to just take it, export it and send
it? It doesn't make sense.
No. And the way I look at it is like, you might see this design and it's created, you know, for, I don't know, backyard chickens or homesteading, right?
Yeah.
But you might be like, that's a really cool thing, but I'm not in that niche. So I'm going to do it in something else, but use the same layout, right? Like,
instead of chickens, it's pandas. I don't know. You know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing I think that you brought up, which is really, really cool, is you're almost reverse engineering how they made that thing so you can 100%. Make your own in the future. You're like, 100%. Oh, that's how they do the drop shadow. That's how they do the layering on this.
Very strong.
And then you're like, okay, so you're almost learning how to use the tool by looking at the templates on how a professional designer created them in the tool. So
absolutely.
Yeah, that's really, really cool.
And the template is, if I could just say another thing about the template, it's powerful for the reason of you being able to replicate or customize. So if you're doing personalized items, for example, and you like that template with the illustration that's in the center with text at the top of the bottom, excellent. Duplicate that as many times as you need to customize, or perhaps the illustration that's in the middle changes. Great. Duplicate that 100 times so that you can then template out or whatever it is you need. Maybe 100 is excessive, but you see what I mean. The strength of templates is very powerful for that reason, because it helps you with things like customization for Etsy or whatever, or perhaps multi niches within one sub niche or something.
Yeah, no, I love that. Okay. You did mention before we wrap up here, you had something that you did want to share though, more about the trends and things. Ooh, and
yes,
let's just kind of cover that. And we can kind of end on that note, cause I think that's a big one that you wanted to share, cause you think that's a big deal. So why don't you go ahead and elaborate on that and sure. Fill us in.
Yeah. So I just have been in hard research mode for graphic design or designy trends that I think have been on the rise coming into 2024, specifically over the course of 2023. I'll actually kind of map out like the last 5 years, like were people even looking or searching online for this kind of design or whatever. And I think that this is powerful. I don't think you should ever pursue a trend or do a trend for the sake of doing it. I think it should match. I think it should adhere to what you're trying to do with your shop, whether that's Etsy or Shopify. Like, make sure it makes sense. Otherwise, the listing will be super random. Like, if it's just a random design trend that has nothing to do, or the style is not the same as your products, I wouldn't do that. But there are some more consumer-based trends that I tried to look into. Us, of course, as Kittle, like, we needed to make sure that we're up to date on like designy things and designy elements. And if there's a couple I could just bring to your awareness, all of you watching, there are some that I think are going to be big over the next year and beyond. And perhaps one of the easiest ones you could maybe utilize is muted color palettes. I mean, I think that we're going to see this kind of pastel, super muted, almost boho, like muted, I've said muted three times, like browns, like pastel yellows, darker purples and greens, almost kind of like what I'm wearing here, almost retro-ish, but utilized across everything, whether it's like a candle label, which you can do print-on-demand candles, by the way, or a big shirt on the back, or wavy retro text. That's a big one, of course, always retro wavy text. Adhering that palette or that color, or at least experimenting with that, across your products that you have on your shop, I think you might see at least a surge in views, perhaps sales as well. I think it's a good idea to look into colors like that. Some other styles, stylistically, of course, for like what the design looks like. We're seeing a really big surge in like eco-friendly stuff. And I know not everybody's necessarily starting a brand to like clean the ocean or something, but just be aware of those things. Like be aware of like organic looking typography, so organic looking text, organic looking shapes. This would be more geometric, for example. So that's kind of a trend that we're seeing amidst this eco-friendly, naturalistic kind of heightened time we're in right now, being very conscious of the environment. I guess I'll just call it environment. A couple other trends that we're seeing surge or kind of come back is like Art Deco and Gothic style, like experimenting with these like Gothic black letter fonts, you know, depending on what you're going to make, whether it's a kind of streetwear, it matches invitations, wedding invitations. Oh my gosh, like Art Deco would be perfect for a wedding invitation, things like that. And a couple that I think will also be super big, I mentioned the word boho or bohemian. That has been sneaky rising, okay? This kind of like tarot card style, this nice, beautiful outline, thick outline illustration with the muted color palettes, lots of use of stars, almost kind of Western-y looking. I don't know. I don't think you should necessarily, of course, like, oh, I'm just going to rebrand my shop to these things. By the way, if you want to see a detailed version, I have a video. It's just 15 graphic design trends. It's on the YouTube channel, so you can watch all 15 and me explain how I would utilize them. Because I try to keep it consumer-based, not just like, I'm going to use these because they're a trend, right? I was trying to keep it more, this is what people might buy on a product, right?
Yeah, I love all of that. We'll link everything up in the description too. Okay, but yeah, great. I mean, we'll link up your channel, even that that one specific video, we'll link that up in the sure. description. So you guys definitely check that out. I love all of this. And here's what I love about whenever I hear following trends, I see people saying like, sell this design. Cause it's
right. Yes, yes, yes.
What you're talking about is like these certain elements, like it's almost if we were designing our kitchen today and then 10 years from now, there's a new style that comes in, right? Like correct. Chip and Joanna from Fixer Upper come on the scene and then everybody's doing everything with subway tile and everybody's doing things with black and white. Right. And right then, 10 years from now, it's kind of outdated and people are starting to go into a new trend, right? Where now bright yellows in the kitchen are in.
Right, the kitchen still works the way the kitchen works, right? Just what it looks
exactly.
like.
Exactly. So what you're saying is like, even though your shop might be catering towards Western, right?
Sure.
We'll start incorporating some of these colors into it.
Try it. Yeah, try it.
Because now that might be something that people are like, they love that muted color or what's the popular one is the comfy colors now that's out, right? Like everybody's talking
the comfort colors. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like on that muted side. Right. And there's different types of like, it's not a burgundy now, it's like a burnt burgundy or something,
or
you
like
know?
Mud or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. So I see that too. It's like, it almost seems like that's starting to become the new trend. And it's like you're saying, if you can incorporate that in your design,
what you're
that could
doing.
Give
yeah.
you an edge. Yeah.
Yeah.
That could give you an edge. Yeah.
Yeah.
And absolutely. So where did you kind of find this stuff out? I mean, I know you're kind of like, you're digging through like Google and trends and stuff. Is that what you were doing?
Well, I know that there's always going to be, YouTubers and social media influencers and graphic design influencers that start to talk about this stuff towards the end of the year, into the next year or what have you. So yeah, I watched a ton of YouTube videos. I saved a ton of posts on, like here's 20 fonts you need to use in 2024. Like that matters or something. But yeah, I just saved a bunch of stuff. And I collected and made a list of what, probably like 20 or something like that, 20, 25. And I was like, if the list is so big, it's just, I don't think it's possible. I mean, there's going to be one of these 15 that obviously I think reigns supreme over the next year. I don't know which one that is because we're not in 2024 yet. But I narrowed that list down from just searching on Google. I searched on Google. I would search every individual trend on YouTube. I searched every individual trend on Etsy, okay, to see what the search results were there. So that would validate me. I would use E-Rank. And then, yeah, Google Trends. Everybody can use Google Trends. You can just type that in and see, search a keyword and even compare that word. And then you can see like spikes in, you can see spikes in like popularity or search availability for each one of those. And then I would do 1 year, I would do 3 years, I would do 5 years. And if anything was like this up, or I guess I'm mirrored. So yeah, if anything was like up towards, you know, the top at 2023, or even if it was like doing this all the way up, I was like, I'm going to talk about it. Why not? I mean, you can just do it. I mean, we're going to do it all, right? We'll do all the templates, all the trends on Kittle. Mm-hmm. Why not? So that's where I came up with that list. I came up with 15 plus a bonus. I guess it's 16, but 15 is a better YouTube title. So
yeah. All right. Well, hey Drew, man, this was awesome. This was a lot of fun. I always love geeking out about all of this stuff. So, and I just love to get, different perspectives, especially because you're in the design world and you are connected to a lot of print on demand sellers and designers and kind of covering both sides of it. So I really appreciate you coming on and doing this. How can people get in touch with you? I know we mentioned the YouTube channel and stuff, but how would you like people to get in touch with you or watch some of your content or go over and check out Kittle, which we'll leave a link to that in the description as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. First and foremost, I always suggest the YouTube. I mean, we've got over 300 videos now on tutorials, trainings, examples, walkthroughs. YouTube in the comments, which helps me because I know if you're commenting on a specific video, that's the thing that you're trying to know is that one specific video. Of course, we have all the socials. Eduarda is our social face, our social content creator. She would love for you to come hang out with the TikTok or the Instagram and comment there and let us know what you want to see on social. And then the Discord. So the Discord is growing like crazy. And I've crafted out different channels for, if you're selling print on demand, if you're selling digital, AI, I've got the Discord really heavily categorized. I've even got a cat, a Kittle Kitties channel, if you want to share pictures of your cat in there. So the Discord is a great place. That's probably first access to me. If you send me a DM, I probably won't see it or answer because it would be like hundreds. But if you ask something in any of the Discord channels, I will see it and I will get to it. So YouTube and Discord 100%. And please also go check out the socials because Eduarda is doing an amazing job. And I know she would love to hang out with y'all.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, cool. We'll link everything up. And once again, I want to say thank you and really appreciate it. And I think this was packed with a lot of great information and really helping us understand what's coming in 2024. So Drew, once again, thanks a lot. I appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. Bye.